Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been studying together in these past few lessons a new book, the book of Galatians. It's new to many of us, and it's a book that I've never taught before on the air, over the radio, over this station. And this book is a very important book because it's one of the key doctrinal books of the New Testament. I mentioned in my last lesson that there are a number of these key doctrinal books. One of them is the Gospel of John. And I mentioned in closing my last lesson that if people do not believe me and what I'm preaching and teaching on the air, then study the Word of God itself. In other words, I'm preaching from the Word of God. Go to the Gospel of John, for instance, which sets forth very clearly who is Jesus, what did he do, why did he do it, who am I, what do I need to do with the Lord Jesus, and how can I live my life after I trust him. The Gospel of John includes all of these things in those 21 chapters. And so if you've never studied the Bible before, go to the Bible, put down the books of man, and believe God's Word itself. So what I'm sharing with you is from the Word of God, and John and other books will confirm it. Books like John and Romans and Ephesians and Hebrews and other books are key doctrinal books. They teach us the basis and the foundations for our faith. Now, in previous lessons, we talked about the reason for the writing of this book. And very briefly, I want to state, the reason for the writing was that the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey had reached four major cities in Galatia. These cities were the important key cities in southern Galatia. And Paul had reached these cities, but in every city he had faced persecution and could only spend a brief time there and could not really build up the Christians, even the leaders whom he appointed, before he went back to Antioch again after much persecution in each of those cities. Even these leaders were not well-trained leaders. And so false teachers were awaiting his departure, and they had come into these churches, pretending perhaps to be Christians. They had come into these churches teaching that faith was good, Jesus was good, believe in Jesus, have faith in him, but with faith you need to add the law. In other words, you need to follow the law of Moses to be assured of your salvation, and second, to live the Christian life. In other words, you couldn't even be sure of your salvation. You might lose it, in fact, after you had faith in Jesus if you didn't follow the law. Or living the Christian life, you would not be living it pleasing to God unless you followed the law of Moses. And so the Christians had believed this. Many of them had. Some of them not. There were some people who did not follow it, but many of the Christians believed it in these four cities. And so they followed these false teachers. And Paul said, "You have departed from grace." In other words, you're not in the true gospel anymore. He said the gospel which they're preaching is not the gospel. It's a false gospel. And these people are to be accursed. And they're going to be judged by God for their false teaching. And so he was correcting these people now in the area of Galatia, correcting them and bringing them out of their false teaching. And then we noted in the introduction to the book how he introduces the true foundations, the Word of God itself, the Lord Jesus as our only Savior from sin, faith as the only means of coming to him, and there are several of these foundations that we stand on. Of course, you don't leave out God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. So the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. These are our foundations for our faith. But coming to him in the correct way, without changing the truth of the gospel, is one of these foundations. And then the Apostle Paul talks about, in this first chapter of the book of Galatians, his own conversion. And this comes down to verse 14. And, in fact, you can go even down to verse 15 of chapter 1 of Galatians. His own conversion, how miraculous it was. The fact that God took a Christ-hating, Christian-hating man who was passionately desirous of stamping out Christianity altogether, and he brought this man to the saving knowledge of the Lord by a revelation from heaven. This revelation came directly from God, where he saw the Lord Jesus, and Jesus was asking him the questions, "Why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me like you are?" And then he talked to him apparently about his need of a Savior. And there on the road, apparently, Paul got converted. And then he took a public stand. We talked about that in our last lesson. He took a public stand by being baptized publicly so that everyone would know that he now stood for the faith. And I want to say something about this. It's very difficult for people who've been very religious and have given that up in favor of coming to God's way of salvation, the Lord Jesus. It's very difficult for them to take a stand. And as their own families may not appreciate what they've done. Their own families might reject them. And this sometimes happens. Families will reject one who has been converted to the Lord Jesus and is coming to him alone and is no longer simply religious or a church member or following this thing or that thing or that person, but who's come to the Lord Jesus alone as his only means of salvation. And so it's difficult sometimes to take a stand. And that's the purpose of baptism. Baptism does not wash away sins. It does not save us from our sins. It's not a means of being saved, but it's a means of taking a public stand for the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul was baptized. And then he also accepted his lifelong commission from God, and that of preaching the gospel wherever God might send him, under whatever circumstances God might permit him to be, whatever the difficulties might be. He accepted his calling from God. And what a wonderful truth this is. We read this in verses 15 and 16. Now, as we come down to the last part of the chapter and verse 1 of chapter 2, he talks about in verse 17 of chapter 1, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus, and after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and lived with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none except James, the Lord's brother." And then down in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus also with me." Now, the question would be, some people would have, why was he afraid then to go to Jerusalem? I think there are a number of reasons why he was afraid. He was not afraid of taking a stand. He'd already been publicly baptized for the Lord Jesus, taken a public stand for him of his new faith in Christ. He was willing to suffer any persecution that could possibly come. But there are a number of reasons why he waited so long to identify with the apostles and the church in Jerusalem. One explanation might be that Paul wanted to be sure that they would understand that his calling came not from man, but from God. Because some would question, "Paul, we already have Matthias as our apostle, as a 12th apostle, and who are you to say that you're the one, that you're the apostle that God has chosen? We already chose him, and we're going to stick by him." Paul had to be able to prove to them that his conversion was from God himself, and his apostleship was from God himself. They had to accept this, and it was not from man. In other words, it was not somebody in Damascus who appointed him, like Ananias or somebody else, but it was God who appointed him. His appointment was not due to man. He didn't owe anything to man in his appointment as an apostle. And not only that, but his apostleship was to be recognized as equal with their apostleship. Very difficult for these former apostles to accept. These apostles who had been formerly with the Lord Jesus. They were not former apostles, they still were. But they formerly had been with the Lord Jesus. And they were the true apostles, in other words, that he himself had appointed during his earthly ministry. Paul was not like that. His apostleship had come from heaven, from the heavenly revelation from God. And so the apostle Paul had to be able to prove to them that his apostleship had come from God. And then, of course, another question they might have, is that they might be afraid of him in Jerusalem. And this was also true. You read this in Acts chapter 9, the end of the chapter, where the Apostle Paul comes to Jerusalem, and of course, in verses 26 to 30 of Acts chapter 9, they're afraid of him. They're afraid that he's an imposter, in other words. He's simply posing as a Christian in order to get his way into the church so that he can destroy them from within. Not from without anymore, by simply knocking on their door or throwing rocks at them, but he can destroy them from within. And so it was very important for these leaders now to know that Paul was a true Christian, and he truly was following the Lord. In other words, he had to prove himself by ministry. So Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 indicates that it was finally 14 years before he met with everyone together. 14 years he waited. This is already 45 A.D. before his first missionary journey. Before that ever began, he now comes to Jerusalem, taking Barnabas and Titus down there with him, and he's going to meet with these apostles and publicly now get them to accept his apostleship and his appointment by God to reach the Gentiles. And so this is very, very important. So the second explanation would be they simply were afraid of him. In other words, how can we believe you, Paul? You hated us before, and how can we believe that you were so miraculously changed? Then another explanation might be that some are jealous of him. I don't like to say this, but I think sometimes this was true. When we come, for instance, to Acts chapter 15, it seems that some in this circle were a little bit jealous of the Apostle Paul. They might question his motives in serving the Lord. Why are you serving the Lord? We're serving the Lord because we love him with all our hearts. We're serving the Lord because he has called us to serve him. But why are you serving the Lord? And how dare you compare yourselves with us? We who are the original apostles and so forth. So it's possible that there was a little bit of jealousy here in the way the Apostle Paul was preaching and everything. They were a little bit jealous of him, and he seemed to be competing with them down in Jerusalem. And in fact, he had a wider ministry than any of them did. The Apostle Paul later could say in books like Romans and some of these other books that I've gone farther than any of the others have ever gone. The Apostle Paul admitted this very truth, and some of them might be jealous of this. And then, of course, some of them also might be offended at Paul, because the message and the methods he was using were somewhat different from the message and the message they were using and the methods they were using. Now, what I'm talking about is this. Some in the Jerusalem church were still clinging to parts of the law. I don't think they were following the entire law, the hundreds of regulations, but they were still clinging to parts of the law. They wanted the Gentiles, in other words, to receive certain customs of the Jews and to become a little bit like Jewish Gentiles. And so they were offended at the fact that Paul did not demand this. Paul was simply telling the Gentiles, you're not under the law, and I'm not going to try to bring you under all of the customs of the Jewish people, whom we respect, of course. But, and Paul respected, because he was still a Jew in his own life. But he was not teaching the Gentiles like this. And so the message and the methods Paul was using would offend some of the people. And again, referring back to Acts chapter 15, when Paul came there, some of them were demanding. Some of them may be from a Pharisaical background. They had been Pharisees before they were saved, and now they were demanding that the Gentiles conform. And so they had to agree in this long chapter of chapter 15. They had to agree that the Gentiles were not under the law, but in order to keep from offending the Jews in every city they were trying to reach for the gospel, there were four simple things they were to do. One of them, of course, had to do with immorality. Another had to do with idol worship. Another had to do with the eating of blood, and the other had to do with strangled. Now, I want to say this, and I hope you'll understand what I'm saying. If I invited a Jewish friend, and I have some very dear Jewish friends, but if I invited a Jewish friend into my home as a Christian, I myself eat pork. I don't eat blood, of course, but I myself eat pork. But I would not have pork on the table before him because it would needlessly offend him. Suppose now this very dear Jewish friend was not yet a Christian, and I wanted to win him to the Lord, the Messiah of the Old Testament. Suppose now he came to my home. I probably would not even have pork in my refrigerator, would not even have it in the house, because I would not want to offend him. So it was right for the Gentiles to accept these four things from them, these four simple things that they demanded in Acts chapter 15. But when Paul first came, it had nothing to do with his message or his customs. It more had to do with would they accept him as an apostle. Would they accept his ministry to the Gentiles? And so as we come into chapter 2, that's the blessing that they gave to him. They gave to him their blessing. And in this passage, they're going to indicate that as Peter was appointed to serve the Jews, Peter later would also, of course, reach some of the Gentiles, but as he was especially appointed to serve the Jews, so Paul was appointed. They had their blessing upon him. They gave their blessing to him that he should preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, before I close and I'll be closing in just a couple of minutes. Let me just read this passage for you. I should have read it at the beginning of this lesson, but let me just read it for you, parts of it at least. 14 years afterwards, I went up again to Jerusalem. This is 45 AD now, with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, privately to them were of reputation, but lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, he was still willing to learn from some of these apostles. He respected them very deeply. Even though he had a position like them of being an apostle, he still respected them very deeply. And so he was trying to learn from them. Verse 2, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, I'm going to close with this. Some people had come from the Jerusalem church, people who were still concerned about Paul's leaving the law completely and not teaching the Gentiles to be under the law. And they'd come up to Antioch, and they made their way privately into the church, trying to get these people to come back to some obedience and allegiance to the law, even though they might have been Gentiles. They were trying to get them to come back under the law. And so they had come in to the Antioch church. Now, I'm going to have to stop right here, but I want to read those first few because this is Paul's burden. And the main thing about this burden, we'll continue this in the next lesson. The main thing about the burden is this. Paul is not there to compromise. Rather, he's there to get them to accept him on this first trip in 45 AD to Jerusalem. The later trip will be to defend the faith that he's preaching, because they were questioning the very message he was given. That would be in Acts chapter 15. We're going to read about that, but that will be a later time. That's going to be in 50 AD. This is 45 AD, 5 years before that second meeting in Jerusalem. So the Apostle Paul is not there to compromise. And I want to urge you as well, do not compromise in your stand for the faith. Don't compromise with anyone. Don't look around for teachings all around you. Go to the Word of God, take the Word of God very clearly and very finally, and don't compromise the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Stand on the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And if you're not a Christian, this is a time for you to study God's Word. I've suggested the Gospel of John would be a good book for you to look into. Even if you don't believe everything I say from the Bible, go to the Bible itself and simply study the Word of God, and then trust the Lord Jesus alone as your Savior from sin. That's clearly taught in the Gospel of John. And so I would urge you to act upon the teachings you have. If you're a Christian, act upon these teachings and stand upon them. And if you're not yet a Christian, come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior. May the Lord bless you, each one, and help you to know the truth and to be free in the truth.